الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم صدق الله العظيم. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon the greatest of all the anbiya, the leader of all mankind, the bearer of the flag of hamd on the day of qiyamah, none other than Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once again reminding ourselves that it is through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favor of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon us that today we have the honor of sitting in the majlis of the teachings of the Holy Quran. We will begin with a very quick and short recap of the previous lesson. In the previous lesson, we discussed the first few verses that were revealed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the means of Hazrat Jibreel Amin alayhi salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the story behind this begins in the early days, the very beginning of Islam, the pre-Islamic days, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born and living in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And he would experience and he was seeing many vices and evils that were predominant at the time in Arabia, and this would hurt the soul of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and cause him much grief. Our respected mother Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that revelation and wahi began with true dreams, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam for a period of 6 months he would see dreams that would come true. Related to this is a hadith wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that dreams, good dreams that are seen by pious people are one of the 46 portions of Nubuwwah. And so to explain this, the period wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw true dreams was 6 months. And the entire period wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam experienced the revelation of the Quran were 23 years. So 6 months out of 23 years is 1 out of 46. So this is the explanation of some scholars to this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha continues and she says, that after these 6 months, during these 6 months, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to like going into seclusion and isolating himself from the people. And during this period, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go into the cave of Hira and he would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the people for an entire month of Ramadan. After which one day, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Iqra, read. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded, Ma ana biqari, I cannot read. And so Hazrat Jibreel Amin alayhi salam takes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he embraces him and he squeezes him until Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam becomes extremely exhausted. And this happens three times. After which Hazrat Jibreel Amin alayhi salam says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaq al-insana min alaq, iqra' wa rabbuka al-akram, alladhi ya'allama bil-qalam, allama al-insana ma lam ya'lam. So the hadith continues, this is what we got up to last week. And so the hadith continues, فَرَجَعَ بِهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَرْجُفُ فُؤَادُهُ. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned with the verses with his heart beating very fast. فَدَخَلَ عَلَى خَدِيجَ بِنْتِ خُوَيْلِدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهَا فَقَالْ زَمِّلُونِي زَمِّلُونِي. He enters upon his respected wife, our beloved mother, Amma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he says to her, Zammiluni, Zammiluni, cover me, cover me. Why? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in a state of shock, in a state of anxiety, in a state of worry. So covering him is a means of trying to rid one of this anxious and discomforting state. The hadith continues. فَزَمِّلُوهُ حَتَّى ذَهَبَ عَنْهُ الرَّوْءُ. أَمَّا خَدِيجَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهَا, she covers Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until this sense of fear went away. Now, here the ulama, rahimahumullah, open a discussion regarding this fear. And they explain that here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not fear Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam as an individual, as another creation. Because the status of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was higher than Hazrat Jibreel Amin alayhi salam. Here, the fear that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was experiencing was due to various different factors. Amongst them was the magnanimity of the responsibility of Nubuwa that was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam had understood the task that was given to him was no easy feat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being the last Rasul of the brotherhood of Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, and it was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's responsibility to balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik, to do tabligh and to spread the da'wah, to spread the word of tawheed to the entirety of humanity. This was no easy feat, no easy task. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood the responsibility, and it was this responsibility that was making Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam experience this anxiety and experience this discomfort and worry at this time. The second point that the ulama have written is that if a human was to see Hazrat Jibreel Amin alayhi salam in his original state, it was a natural thing within any of us. And it was a natural thing, a natural factor within Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he had this fear of this. He was shocked by the presence of Rasulullah, of Jibreel Amin alayhi salam, because Jibreel Amin, he had come in his original form and he had filled the entire sky. So naturally, you would feel that sense of awe and sense of fear. And the third factor that the ulama have written is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had come into this state because of the being in awe of the Holy Quran. The hadith continues. Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, فَقَالَ لِخَدِيجَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهَا وَأَخْبَرَهَا الْخَبَرُ وَقَالَ لَقَدْ خَشِيتُ عَلَى نَفْسِي. After Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam experienced a little bit of comfort and this state was removed somewhat, he begins to narrate the story of the Bad'ul Wahy, of the first revelation to Amma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I feared for myself. I feared for my welfare, my well-being. I feared for my life. فَقَالَتْ خَدِيجَةُ كَلَّا وَاللَّهِ مَا يُخْزِيكَ اللَّهُ أَبَدًا إِنَّكَ لَتَصِلُ الرَّحِيمِ وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلْ وَتَكْسِبُ الْمَعْدُومِ وَتَقْرِ الضَّيْفِ وَتُئِينُ عَلَى نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ. Amma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha says, never, wallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never disgrace you. Verily, you keep strong family ties. You bear the difficulties of the weak. You help the poor. You honor the guest. And you help those who have experienced calamities. Righteous ones. So, the ulama here explain, the Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was a learned person. She was a very intelligent woman. She was a learned person who could read, who could write. And she had knowledge of the previous books. And based on her knowledge of the previous books, she understood that it was against the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to disgrace and dishonor a human being, a person who has such qualities. And she lists the qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فانطلقت به خديجة حتى أتت به ورقة ابن نوفل ابن أسد ابن عزة ابن عم خديجة رضي الله تعالى عنها. The hadith continues. After this, she takes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she goes to her cousin ورقة بن نوفل. وكان امرأ تنصر في الجاهلية وكان يكتب الكتاب الإبراني. He was a person who was a Christian at the time of Zamanay Jahiliyyah. But before Islam, in the pre-Islamic period, he was a Christian and he would write the previous scriptures in the Ibrani language. فَيَكْتُبُ مِنَ الْإِنْجِيلِ بِالْإِبْرَانِيَّةِ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَكْتُبُ. He had written the scriptures of Injil in the Ibrani language as much as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted him to. وَكَانَ شَيْخًا كَبِيرًا قَدْ عَمِيَ. He was a very old person at this time, and he was so old that he had become blind. فَقَالَتْ لَهُ خَدِيجَةُ يَبْنَ عَمِّي اسْمَعْ مِنْ إِبْنِ أَخِيكَ. Amma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha says, that, oh my cousin, listen to what your nephew has to say. فقال له ورقة يا ابن أخي ماذا ترى. ورقة says to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, oh my nephew, what did you see? فأخبره Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم خبر ما رأى. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم narrates the story of the first revelation to ورقة بن نوفل. فقال له ورقة هذا الناموس الذي نزل الله على موسى صلى الله عليه وسلم يا ليتني فيها جذعا. ورقة بن نوفل, on hearing the story from Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, He says that, "Oh Muhammad, this was the exact same angel that used to come to Musa alayhi salam. Oh, how I wish that at this time I would be young and strong. Ya laytani akunu hayyan idh yukhrijuka qawmuka. Oh, how I wish I would be alive when your people banish you." فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم responded, أو مخرجيهم, my own people, they will banish me. And رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم was shocked by this fact that my own people are going to banish me from my own city, my own place, the place where I grew up. You got to understand something else, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was no unpopular person. He was a very, very popular person. He was born into one of the most well-respected and greatest tribes of Makkah. His grandfather, Abdul Muttalib, was the Sayyid. He was the leader of the Quraysh. His grandfather had rediscovered the well of Zamzam. So his family was a very well-honored family, and it was a very well-respected family. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself was a very, very well-respected person. And he had titles such as As-Sadiq and Al-Amin, that he is the truthful one and he is the trustworthy one. And all of the people of Makkah knew of his qualities and they knew of his virtues, and they loved him and they trusted him and they respected him. So for somebody to say, to prophesize, that your own people who love you and respect you, and they have so much reverence for you and your entire family, they're going to banish you. It was shocking news for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Waraqa replied, قَالَ نَعَمْ لَمْ يَأْتِي رَجُلٌ قَتُّ بِمِثْلِ مَا جِئْتَ بِهِ إِلَّا عُودِيَ. He says that before you, no person has come with such a thing that you have come with, except that he was treated with hostility. So it's in reference to the previous prophet. So that whenever they also bought scriptures from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would also be treated in a hostility by their people. Look, we have the stories of Shu'aib alayhi salam, stories of Salih alayhi salam, stories of Musa alayhi salam, stories, so many stories of Ibrahim alayhi salam, they threw him into the fire. Yeah? So many stories in the Holy Quran, Isa alayhi salam. So this is what Waraqa bin Nawfal is referring to at this time. وَيُدْرِكْنِي يَوْمُكَ أَنْصُرُكَ نَصْرًا مُؤَزَّرًا ثُمَّ لَمْ يَنْثَبْ وَرَقَ. أن توفي وفتر الوحي. He says, if the time, that day comes when your people, they banish you and I am alive, أنصرك نصرا مؤزرا, I will give you a very strong help. I will help you with strength. However, Waraqa bin Nawfal, he only lived for a few days after this, and then he passed away. And the wahy, the revelation stopped. Earlier we mentioned about this time, this period where revelation had stopped. This was called the time of Fatrat. This lasted for, according to one narration, 2.5 years, and according to one narration, 3 years. Now this is one narration of Bukhari Sharif. It's the hadith, the third hadith actually, that Imam Bukhari rahimullah has. Imam Bukhari rahimullah has started his magnum opus with the title heading of كَيْفَ كَانَ بَدْءُ الْوَحْيِ إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. How was the first revelation to Rasulullah صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. However, although this is the first title heading, it's not the first hadith that Imam Bukhari rahimahullah has bought. The first hadith that Imam Bukhari rahimahullah has bought is the hadith of the intention, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Actions are according to intentions. This long hadith that I have recited is actually the third hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari. However, in another narration of Bukhari Sharif, is very similar narration here, But there is an addendum here. There's an extra portion of this hadith. And this mentions during this time of fatrah and during the time when the revelation had stopped to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to become very sad and he used to become very upset and he used to become in a state of discomfort and anxiety. So he would go up the mountain and Hazrat Jibreel Amin used to come to him at this time and he used to say to him, إِنَّكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ حَقًّا إِنَّكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ حَقًّا إِنَّكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ حَقًّا O Muhammad, you are the true prophet, you are the true prophet. Don't worry, you know, like this is his message. And then this would help Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It would give him some contentment, it would give him some himmat, and it would, it would give him some inspiration, and then it would help him calm down. And then Rasulullah would continue. And then when this state would come again, then Rasulullah again would go up to the mountain of Jibreel Amin used to come again, and he used to say, إِنَّكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ حَقًّا You are the true prophet, O Muhammad, you are the true prophet. And like this, 2.5-3 years went by. And then after this, the revelation continued. Now, at this moment, it would be reprehensible. And on my behalf, it would be insolence if I didn't mention, take out a few minutes to speak about our respected mother, Hazrat Khadijatul Kubra, radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And inshallah, upon this, I will conclude today's talk. Hazrat Khadijatul Kubra, radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had 11 wives throughout his life. 4 of these were from the Quraysh. 6 were not from the Quraysh, and 1 was not non-Arab. So the 4 wives that were from the Quraysh were the first wife, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, bint Khuwaylid, Hazrat Sauda bint Zam'a, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa bint Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anha, Hazrat Hafsa bint Umar al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anha. So that's 4 that were from the Quraysh. And then the 6 that were not from the Quraysh were Ummi Habiba, radiallahu ta'ala anha, Ummi Salama, radiallahu ta'ala anha, Hazrat Zainab bint Khuzayma, radiallahu ta'ala anha, Hazrat Zainab bint Jahash, radiallahu ta'ala anha, Hazrat Maymuna, radiallahu ta'ala anha, and Hazrat Juwayriya, radiallahu ta'ala anha. So these 6 of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen were Arab but not from the Quraysh, which was the tribe of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that's 10, and then the 11th wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Hazrat Safiya bint Huyay radiallahu ta'ala anha, and she was from the Jewish tribe. And we also mentioned her name earlier in the tafsir of Surah Al-Bayyinah, and we mentioned a hadith where she heard her father and uncle discussing that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the true prophet, but they were not going to accept him because he was not from the Jewish tribe. He was not from Banu Israel. He was from Banu Ismail. Now, Hadha Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha was Qurayshi. She was from Makkah. She was the daughter of Khuwaylid. She had married before, and her husbands had either passed away or they'd split up, wallahu a'lam. And she had children from previous marriages as well. However, the time had come when she was not married anymore, and she was a businesswoman. And how she would do business is she was very wealthy because she was a very successful businesswoman. So she would send business people on business trips, and she would give them money, capital, and they would go and they would buy and sell and bring products back to Makkatul Mukarramah, etc., and do business in this. And then they would have a pre-agreed, like a contract, that when you come, a percentage of the profits will be given to you, and like this. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we mentioned earlier, he had a reputation for being a Sadiq al-Amin, the truthful one, the trustworthy one, and he was a very, very good businessman and a very successful businessman. So when she heard about the reputation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she proposed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go on a business trip, and she sent her slave with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on the business trip. As far as I remember, it was to Syria. And he conducted business and he came back. And Amma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha noticed that there was a very, very healthy amount of profit. And she also took a report from her slave, and the slave also gave a very good report, not just into the business etiquette of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but his mannerism, his characteristics, his personality as a person, how he was when he was traveling, how he spoke to people, how he conducted his business, how truthful he was, how trustworthy he was. You know, he never stole any of the money, he never cheated Amma Khadija from any of that money. Other people, when they're going on these kind of trips, they can be tempted, you know, to take a little bit. What do they say? Skim it off the top. They say something like that. So after this, Amma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala sent a marriage proposal to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam receives the proposal. He goes to his uncle and guardian, Abu Talib, and he takes counsel from him. He does mashwara with him. Abu Talib agrees as well, and he's very happy. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepts the proposal, and now they are married. At this time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 25 years of age, and Amma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha was 40 years of age. After this, Amma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha gave birth to all of the children of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the exception of Hazrat Ibrahim radiallahu ta'ala an, whose mother was the slave girl of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Maria Qibtiya radiallahu ta'ala anha. And moving on to mention, obviously, besides the entire story of the beginning of the revelation of Rasulullah to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Amma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala was the first woman to accept Islam, and not just at the beginning of Islam, but throughout. After, as we know, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims, the Sahabas, during the period of Makkah, they went through a lot of difficulty and a lot of persecution at the hands of the Quraysh. And during these very, very, very difficult times, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha gave a lot of support to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she supported him through thick and thin. And inshallah, I'm going to mention two hadiths that give us an idea about the status of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. The first hadith, is narrated by Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says, Ata Jibreel Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One day, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Faqala ya Rasulullah. He said, Ya Rasulullah, hadhihi Khadija, qad atatka ma'aha ina'un fihi idamun aw ta'amun aw sharabun. He says, look, Ya Rasulullah, Khadija, this is Khadija, she's coming to you. At the time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the cave. And as we mentioned in the previous hadith as well, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go to the cave with provisions. Sometimes when the provision would run out, Amma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha would take provisions and she would go, she would climb the mountain and go to the cave and take provisions for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Amma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, at this moment in time, she is on her way to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in the cave of Hira. Jibreel Amin comes down. He says, Ya Rasulullah, hadhihi Khadija. Look, Khadija is here. She is coming to you with a basin with food, some food or drink inside it. فَإِذَا هِيَ أَتَتْكَ
When she comes to you, فَقْرَأْ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ مِنْ رَبِّهَا عَزَّ وَجَلْ وَمِنِّي.
Give salams to her from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from me. Just this, and this hadith has been included in chapters where talking about the status of the Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. But just imagine the status of this woman. Just imagine the status of our mother, Amma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, that Allah Himself is giving direct salam. Allah is giving salam to her. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Rabbul Alameen, Khaliku kulli shay, the creator of all things, the master of the day of judgment, He is sending salams to Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Subhanallah, there's no other words that can really explain the very, very high status of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Jibreel Amin also says that, give her my salams as well. وَبَشِّرْهَا بِبَيْتٍ فِي الْجَنَّةِ مِنْ قَصَبٍ لَا صَخَبَ فِيهَا وَلَا نَصَبٍ. Give her glad tidings of a palace in Jannah that is made from a jewel in which there is no noise and there is no toil. So just this one hadith itself. And then, inshallah, one more hadith and I will finish. This hadith is narrated by Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Now, before we go and pray the hadith, we might understand something called ghayra. Ghayra is an Arabic word which has no direct English translation, because I don't think ghayra actually exists within the English people. Possibly. Wallahu alam. Ghayra is translated as a sense of honor, a sense of self-respect, or which also includes protectiveness. Now, for example, a man, he will feel uncomfortable with his mother or his sister or his wife or his daughter going out dressed in, you know, showing off her body. You feel uncomfortable. No, that's my mother. That's my sister. I don't feel good about this. You know, that feeling, that uncomfortable feeling, that's self-honor and self-respect, and you feel protective. You don't want other men to look upon your wife, look upon your mother, look upon your daughter with lustful glances. Yeah? And now you might understand why I was saying that there's no direct. Because there's some people that don't mind if they find it, like, proud of people are looking at my wife, you know, trophy wife, stuff like that. And also, ghayra has a very wide meaning. So this sense of protectiveness, and the reason I'm mentioning going into the meaning is because some have translated this as jealousy, which is not a good meaning. It's a derogatory term, and it doesn't fit well with the status of the Sahaba and the personalities and the character of the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi wa ajma'in. So also, just the same way that men have ghayra over their wives, wives also have ghayra over their husband. They feel protective over their husband. And that's natural. When you love somebody, you want them all to yourself. And so when a person has multiple wives, naturally, between the co-wives, there would be this competition for the attention of the husband. And that's natural and that's normal. So Amma Khadija, Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, مَا غِرْتُ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّن نِسَاءِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ مَا غِرْتُ عَلَىٰ خَدِيجَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ عَنْهَا. She says that, I never felt this feeling of protectiveness and, upon any of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like the way I felt this ghayra upon Khadija radiallahu anha. Why? She says, وَمَا رَأَيْتُهَا قَتُ. I didn't meet her. Now, it's possible that they saw each other because Amma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha passed away in the 10th year of Nubuwa. Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was born in the 4th year of Nubuwa. So there's 6 years there. Hazrat Aisha was 6 years old when Hazrat Khadija passed away. It's possible they might have met each other, but I think what it means here is that وَمَا رَأَيْتُهَا قَتُ. I never saw her as in a situation where we were co-wives. For information, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while he was married to Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala, he never married any other woman. It was only after Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha passed away that Rasulullah began marrying other women.
وَلَكِنْ كَانَ يَكْثُرُ ذِكْرَهَا
Rasulullah would always talk about Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. وَرُبْمَا
ذَبَهَ الشَّأْتَ ثُمَّ يَقْتَعُهَا أَعْضَاءً ثُمَّ يَبْعَثُهَا فِي صَدَائِكِ خَدِيجَ
So whenever he used to sacrifice an animal, he would cut a portion of it and he would send it to the friends of Hazrat Khadija. That go send this to the friends of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. And this is out of love and honor and respect for Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Even after she passed away, out of love for Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, he would go and send meat to the friends of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. From here we learn a lesson. Now when our loved ones pass away, our wives pass away, we should still, you know, eat time comes, send food to her family. Yeah, to her sisters, to her mother if she's alive, to her like that. Likewise, our parents, after may Allah give them all a long and healthy life, but after they pass away, we should always go try and go and visit their parents, their friends. If you see them in the masjid, go and do salam with them. You know, your grandparents, their friends. This was the adab and the habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَرُبَمَا قُلْتُ لَهُ كَأَنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا خَدِيجَةً Hazrat Aisha says that I used to say to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's like there's no one in the world except Khadija. You're always talking about Khadija, Khadija, Khadija. What's this, you know? So sometimes out of that, I used to have this feeling that upon, Ya Rasulullah, I'm your wife. And you're talking about Khadija all the time. You know, it's like there's no one else besides Khadija.
Radiallahu ta'ala anha. فَيَكُولْ إِنَّهَا كَانَتْ وَكَانَتْ وَكَانَ لِي مِنْهَا وَلَدْ
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, she was like this and she was like this. And he always used to talk about her. Because she was there for him at one of the most difficult times of his life. Rasulullah never ever forgot that. And another point is that sometimes it says in another hadith of Bukhari Sharif that sometimes her sister, Hazrat Khadija's sister, Hala, she used to knock on the door and she used to say, Hala. So, you know, Rasulullah said, Allahumma Hala. She used to say that, oh, you know, when Hala came, I remembered Khadija. Straight away, he used to remember her like that. And so, you know, there was such. And Rasulullah adds, وَكَانَ لِي مِنْهَا وَلَدْ Yeah, all my children were born from Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. And so, another point is some people have mentioned that there's like a bit of jealousy from Hazrat Aisha. نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ No. This hadith has been mentioned في مناقب Khadija. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah has brought this hadith in the virtues, the chapters of virtues of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. And Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha is talking about her to make the ummah understand the status of Hazrat Khadija. It was through this hadith that we understand how highly appreciative Rasulullah was of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha. Such a beautiful marriage, such beautiful personalities, such amazing, amazing characteristics and personalities, and people of such a caliber. You know, we try to try our best to be like them. We learn about their qualities. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah make our women, our wives, our daughters like Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, like Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave such love and such respect between Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, and all the ummahatul mu'mineen, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our marriages as well with such success and such love and such loyalty and such happiness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the qualities of the Sahaba and help us to emulate and exemplify their lives. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.